We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, which is entitled The Residents of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. Text number 11. Yat Sangalabdam Nijavirya Vaibhavam Tirtam Muhu Samsprishatam Hi Manasam Harati Aja Anta Srutibi Kata Angajam Kaha Vai Na Seveta Mukunda Vikramam Yatsangalabdam Nijavirya Vaibhavam Tirtam Muhu Samsprishatam Imanasam Harati ajonta sruti birgaton gajam Kovaina sevita mukunda vikramam Yat of whom the devotees Sangalabdam achieved by the association Nijavirya Vaibhavam, whose influence is uncommon. Tirtham, holy places like the Ganges. Muhu, repeatedly. Samsprishatam, of those touching. He certainly manasam the dirty things in the mind harati vanquishes aja the supreme unborn one anta in the core of the heart Srutibi, by the ears, Gata, entered, Angajam, dirty things or infections of the body, Kaha, who, Vai, indeed, Na, not, Sevita would serve Mukunda Vikramam, the glorious activities of Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda is the all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead in the form of sound vibrations, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contaminations and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the sane man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? Please repeat. By associating with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda is the all-in-all, one can hear of his powerful activities and soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who constantly and very eagerly hears narrations of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead in the form of sound vibrations, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes bodily contaminations and infections, this process and the process of visiting holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the sane man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? Purport. Bathing in the Ganges can certainly cure one of many infectious diseases, but it cannot cleanse one's materially attached mind, which creates all kinds of contaminations in material existence. However, one who directly associates with the Supreme Lord by hearing of his activities cleanses the dirt from his mind and very soon comes to Krishna consciousness. Srila Sutta Goswami confirms this in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya sravana kirtana ridyantastoi abhadrani vidinoti suritsatam. The Supreme Lord within everyone's heart becomes very pleased when a person hears narrations of his activities. And he personally cleanses the dirt from the mind of the listener. Ridyantasto i abhadrani vidunoti. He washes off all dirt from the mind. Material existence is caused by dirty things within the mind. If one can cleanse his mind, he immediately comes to his original position of Krishna consciousness, and thus his life becomes successful. Therefore, all the great saints in the devotional life line very strongly recommend the process of hearing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to give everyone a chance to hear Krishna's holy name. For simply by hearing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one becomes purified. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Therefore, our Krishna consciousness movement is chiefly engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra all over the world. After one's mind becomes cleansed by chanting Hare Krishna, one gradually comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness and then reads books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Nectar of Devotion. In this way, one becomes more and more purified of material contamination. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18, Nasta prayesh fabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naistuki. Translation: by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. And loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. In this way, simply by hearing of the powerful activities of the Lord, the devotee's heart becomes almost completely cleansed of material contamination, and thus his original position as an eternal servant who is part and partial of the Lord becomes manifest. While the devotee engages in devotional service, the passionate and inherent modes of material nature are gradually vanquished. And then he acts only in the mode of goodness. At that time, he becomes happy and gradually advances in Krishna consciousness. Last paragraph. All the great acharyas strongly recommend that people be given a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord. Then success is assured. The more we cleanse the dirt of material attachment from our hearts, the more we will be attracted by Krishna's name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and activities. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyanamya Shakaya Shakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnudaya Krishnamurtaye Bhutale Shrimati Satvarupdas Goswami Tenamini Namo Vishnudaya Krishnamurtaye Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tenamini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pasya Chade Satarvi. So in this verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes the prayers to the Lord which are expressed by K. King Bhadrasrava and the citizens living in his kingdom. And in this particular verse, it is expressed how important it is to be associating with persons who are eager to hear about the Lord and who are fully absorbed in Krishna Katha. And it is compared also towards the bathing in the Ganga. Of course, the Ganges is a holy river, and it is coming down from the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha. And it's coming from, the Ganga is coming from the toe of Lord Narayan. And it's coming down on the head of Lord Shiva in this universe. And then it goes to different places, and one of the places where it goes is on the planet Earth, where it comes out in the Himalaya mountains in Gomukh, where it comes out of the ice gletscher as a small river. And it has, it is known to have materially, so to say, purifying qualities. And it is also spiritually to take a bath in the Ganga is beneficial. And Suprabhupada points out also the benefit of the and that it takes care of infectious diseases. So it cleanses the body. And in this particular purport, the comparison is made that taking bath in the Ganga or visiting holy places, although it is beneficial, it is a slow process. That's what is pointed out here. If we compare it with associating with devotees who are fully absorbed in Krishna Katha. So, because the persons who are fully absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, who are fully absorbed in the pastimes and activities and paraphernalia and service to the Lord, they are like on a fast track. And just like when you visit the temple in Tirupati, Lord Venkatesh, then you have different tracks. You can just go as a visitor, and then it takes you 3 to 5 hours to see the Lord, and then you pay 300 rupees and you go on a faster track, and then you have a VIP track where you pay 1,000 rupees per person, and then you have a fast track, And then you get to see the Lord within half an hour, something like that. Last time when we were in the GBC meetings in Tirupati, then the devotee in charge there, he organized for the GBC members a visit on the fast track. And then you get nice guidance, it goes fast, some extra mahaprasadam, sit down, etc., etc. So it was very, very nice like that to see the Lord. So in a similar way, in the process of Krishna consciousness, there are slow tracks, middle fast, and fast tracks. So here in this verse, the comparison is made with what we have to do if we want to take the fast track. Because also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sikshastaka, in the second verse, Namnamakari Bahuddha Nijasarva Shaktis Tratapritani Yamita Smarane Nakala Itadrishita Vakripa Bhagavan Namapi Dudevam Idrisham Ihajanina Nuraha. That he also says that, O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. And thus you have hundreds and millions of transcendental names, such as Krishna and Govinda, in which you have invested all your transcendental energies. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his prayer to Lord Krishna, says that you have invested all your transcendental energies, all your potencies in your holy name. So this is a special benediction for Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga you need some more powerful medicine. The doctors also, they describe a lot of antibiotica. How good it is, that's another thing. But it's a powerful medicine. Some people say it kills the good and it kills the bad in the body. So there are some also doubts if that's so. But in any case, in Kali Yuga, we see that, you know, more powerful things are needed. Like this antibiotica, before it didn't exist. People were treated with herbs and this and that. But now, in the patient society, people are sick, they cannot work, they lose thousands of euros, and they have to be quickly healthy. So they go to the doctor for some powerful medicine. And then they get strong doses of antibiotica, and then they can again continue in their passion. But it's just an example that in Kali Yuga we need powerful medicines. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he pointed out that in Kali Yuga that benediction is there. The benediction of the chanting of the holy name is there, and the chanting of the holy name cleanses the heart, cleanses the mind. Cheto darpana marjanam. And this cleansing is very much needed, because the mind is very dirty. In Kali Yuga also the minds are even more dirty. And how can you see with a dirty mind? If your glasses are not clean, how can you see properly? Then you have to clean them. And if you clean them, then you see where you go. So the same, our vision is diluted. Our vision is not cleansed. We are spiritually blind. And this spiritual blindness leads us nowhere. It leads us somewhere, but it leads us in many cases to material life. That we put all our energy, we put it in material life. But then if you stop and reflect, what am I doing? Then you, if you are honest, then you have to say, yes, I'm going nowhere. I'm working very hard, but I'm going nowhere. Simply nowhere. The only thing which fills up a little bit is my bank account. But that's not the goal of life. So this cleansing of the mind cleansing of the heart is very, very important. Otherwise, we are going to remain bewildered. We are going to be like Dhritarashtra, spiritually blind. And then we don't know what is the best for us. If you are spiritually blind, your intuition is also covered. Although Krishna is there, right next to as the super soul, next to the soul, ready and willing to tell us everything. But we don't, you know, there is no proper transmitter, because it cannot be properly transmitted, because the heart is too conditioned. The heart is too contaminated. The heart is too dirty. So there is no transmission, proper transmission between the super soul and the soul. It's not possible. Because our heart is covered with all kinds of material desires and contaminations and remembrances and family attachments and prestige attachments and envy. So it's all big mess there. And the powerful medicine which is given to us are the chanting of the holy name, and to associate with saintly persons, to associate with pure devotees, with devotees who have already cleansed their heart. Cleansing of the heart, as it's explained in this verse, it's explained here in relation to that verse, Srimvatam Svakata Krishna. The Supreme Lord within everyone's heart becomes very pleased when a person hears narrations of his activities, and he personally cleanses the dirt from the mind of the listener. So even there, it's not that we are the doer. Our service is to absorb our mind in the holy name and in the Lord's activities, and to serve the Lord. And by doing so, Krishna will cleanse our heart. If we make sure that we do the right thing, then Krishna will cleanse the dirty things from our heart, so that they don't come back to bother us again. And that's why it's so important that we are in community of devotees, or that we associate with advanced devotees, so that we can that they can keep us on track. Because we can easily, after some time, think, "Oh, you know, I have tried, but I have no taste, and it doesn't work for me." We think that we are so special that even the process given by the Lord is not working for us. While in reality, there is no exception. This is for all living entities. All living entities are dear to the Lord, and this process is the perfect and the fast, most fast-track process for all of us. No exceptions. Because we want to be so special that we like to be exceptions. So that's another problem. But if we go through this process, then the Lord will personally take away these anarthas which are disturbing us, which are keeping us from wholeheartedly rendering service. Up to the point that the heart is cleansed, that the mirror is clean, and then we will be so enthusiastic to serve Krishna that, you know, we will become an inspiration for others. Once the heart is cleansed, then we approach the constitutional position of the soul, which is to be an enthusiastic servant of the Lord. And then there is, you know, no way nobody will hold us back anymore, because we will be purified and our energy will flow. At the end of that purport of the Srimvatam Svakata Krishna verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, "To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature." So it's not our real nature to be conditioned or to be contaminated or influenced or covered. That's our foreign nature. That's a temporary situation. But, Srila Prabhupada points out, this temporary is very, very long. That's why it's, you know, just like when paint is very, very old, sometimes it's very, very tough to get it off. So also the cleaning process may not be the most simple or the most, it's deeply rooted, in other words, this condition. But Srila Prabhupada continues, "But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind." So again, our task is to make sure that we are in that path, and if possible, that we, you know, are enthusiastically. That's another element which helps very much. Which makes the process go more favorable if you are enthusiastic. And there are six principles favorable to the execution of devotional service, and the first one is to be enthusiastic, and to endeavor with confidence, and to be patient, and to act according to the regulative principles, and to abandon the association of the non-devotees, and to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and the pure devotees. So this This is the process to come to this purity of heart. In the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is saying, all the great acharyas strongly recommend that people be given a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord. Then success is assured. So if we can take part in this process of that's like book distribution, where we help to give this Krishna consciousness to others. In this way, the people get a chance to hear about the Supreme Lord. Then success is assured. The more we cleanse the dirt of material attachment from our hearts, the more we will be attracted by Krishna's name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and activities. This is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness movement. This is the sum and substance, is the more we ourselves start with the process of associating with devotees and taking enthusiastically to the process of Krishna consciousness, then the cleaning of the heart will take place. And then if we also give it to others, this Krishna consciousness, then Srila Prabhupada says, you know, the cleaning will take place. And this is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, Krishna consciousness movement is there to, for all those who are part of the Krishna consciousness movement, to purify themselves in Krishna consciousness and to give others a chance. That's the greatest, the greatest social welfare one can do for the society. We start with ourselves, and simultaneously, while we are in the process of cleaning our own conditioned nature, we give others also. We want to share. We have something good for the world, so we want to share it with the world. And we want to give others also an opportunity, for those who are ready for it, or for those who want to take it up in little by little, we want to give them the opportunity to also take to Krishna consciousness. In that sense, Srila Prabhupada had a real great vision. Because, we know from immediately when he started, when he set up Krishna consciousness, when he was in the 22nd Avenue, he started ISKCON. There was practically nothing, but Srila Prabhupada spoke as if there was a whole, movement all over the world, because that was his vision, and that is what happened, and that is what will continue to happen. And that's why this Krishna consciousness, more than anything else that people try to do on the level of peace or aid or anything else, the most powerful help is to help people understand who they are, what is their real constitutional position and give them this Krishna consciousness in the form of the holy name, in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the best way we can help some people. And if people temporarily don't take to it, then we should be patient, but we should also know that there is no other way. We may have to invent ways that we change the packet, but contents, there is no need for change. But the packets we can change. And sometimes people, they take it in when it's packed in such a way, then they can take to it. When it's packed in another way, then they so we may have to think of ways how to bring Krishna consciousness to other people around us in the most most palatable way. Like these days, people are more receptive to yoga or to indirect ways. So if that's what is required in order to be able to give them, to bring them to the point of studying Bhagavad Gita and chanting Hare Krishna, then we take to yoga. Through yoga, we give them Krishna consciousness. So the packet may change, but what is inside the packet is the same. That we cannot change, and there is no need to change, because the real medicine is there. Since it's said that it's nice and important to absorb ourselves in pastimes of the Lord, I wanted to read one short pastime of Krishna. One day, while staying in Varshana, Srimati Radharani was unable to go to the house of Nanda Maharaj to cook for Krishna. Sri Krishna felt very sad that he would not see Sri Radha, and so he went to Varshana, hoping that he might get a glimpse of Srimati Radharani. He climbed to the top of a hill and from there looked upon the house of King Vrishabhanu, expecting to have darshan of Radharani, but she was nowhere to be seen. Then Krishna started to make a sound like a peacock, calling out to Srimati Radharani. When Radharani heard this sound from inside the palace, she could understand that this was not the sound of a real peacock, but the voice of her beloved Krishna. She thought to herself, Krishna is calling out to me, but my mother may come to know it. May come to know it that it is Krishna and not a real peacock. And so without informing Mother Kirtida, Radha left the palace and went searching for Krishna, following the sound of his peacock call. After some time, Radha and Krishna met at the top of the hill. Both of them were in ecstasy to meet with each other. They entered into a cave in a very solitary place. Radharani sat down and Sri Krishna lay on the ground, resting his head on the lap of Radharani. Radharani was caressing Krishna's body very affectionately while speaking different loving subjects with him. Meanwhile, Mother Kirtida realized she had not seen her daughter for a long time. She became worried and searched for Radharani all over the place, but she was nowhere to be found. In great anxiety for her daughter's safety, Mother Kirtida went in search of Radharani. Seeing her footprints outside the palace, Kirtida followed them to the top of the hill, reaching the entrance to the cave, where Radha and Krishna were exchanging loving talks. At the moment Kirtida arrived at the mouth of the cave, Sri Krishna was lying on the ground with his head resting on the thigh of Radharani, facing the entrance of the cave. Radharani was gazing upon the beautiful face of Sri Krishna and talking with him while affectionately caressing his body. Kirtida entered the cave but could not see Radha and Krishna in the darkness. Krishna, however, could see Kirtida. He knew the cave had only one entrance and that there was no place inside the cave to hide. When he realized that there was no way to escape, Krishna accepted the form of a peacock. Thus, to Kirtida, it appeared a peacock was lying on the ground with its head resting on the thigh of Srimati Radharani, who was stroking the peacock affectionately and taking it in a sweet and loving way. Kirtida said, "Radha, what are you doing alone in here? I did not see you in the house for a long time, and I was very worried. I came here searching for you, following your footsteps." Radharani said, "I was feeling bored, sitting all the time inside the house. I came here and saw this peacock. And so I'm just sitting here stroking him." Mother Kirtida said, "It is already noontime. Let us go back home. You must eat your lunch now." Radharani lifted the peacock from her thigh and gently placed him on the ground. With great sadness, she returned to the palace along with her mother. There she took bath, ate her lunch and rested. Krishna transformed from his peacock form to his own Shyamasundar form and returned to his house for lunch. Maybe another short one. One day, Abhimanyu, the husband of Radharani, decided to take Radharani to Mathura in order to keep her away from Krishna. He went to Purnamasi and asked for her blessings to do this. Purnamasi Devi tried to subdue Abhimanyu, telling him that what he had heard were simply rumors. She convinced him not to go to Mathura and to return home. Abhimanyu then requested Purnamasi to tell Radharani that she should start worshipping Gauri Devi. His mother, Abhimanyu's mother, Jatila, had told him that Chandravali had started worshipping Gauri Devi, and as a result, her husband, Govardhan Mala, had become very rich. By this arrangement, Radharani started to worship Gauri Devi. One day, as she was on her way to perform puja, Krishna came and blocked her path. After a long argument, Radharani chastised Krishna, then went to pluck some flowers for worship. Padma, one of Chandravali's Shakis, saw Radha and Krishna there. She went quickly and told Abhimanyu that Radha and Krishna were together at the Gauri temple. When Abhimanyu heard this, he became very angry and rushed to the temple. In the meantime, Krishna went to the Gauri temple and dressed himself as the deity of Gauri, standing in her place. When Srimati Radharani arrived at the temple, she offered the flowers she had picked for the deity of Gauri Devi and started to pray to her. At this time, Abhimanyu came rushing to the temple in a very angry mood. He saw Radharani offering puja to Gauri Devi and was relieved that Krishna was nowhere in the sight, because he was in the form of the deity. Abhimanyu offered his obeisances to Gauri Devi, and as he did so, the deity warned Abhimanyu that his life was in great danger, and that Vrinda Devi would explain why. Turning to Vrinda Devi, Abhimanyu asked in fear what this was about. Vrinda Devi explained that Kamsa planned to cut Abhimanyu's head off in 2 days. Hearing this, Radharani begged Gauri Devi to save her husband from this danger. The deity replied that she would do so, so Krishna replied, if Radharani promised she would never leave Raj and would always render service to her Gauri Devi. Abhimanyu urged Radharani to agree to these conditions. Thus, his plans to take Srimati Radharani to Mathura were cancelled, and she was able to stay in Vraj. So we'll stop here. Any comments?